Blog Talk Radio.
Ho ho ho! Hi ho! Good evening, and welcome to Erie House Radio. Merry, merry Christmas Eve, one and all. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm here with.
Merry Christmas and a Hairy New Year. I'm Dave Binkner from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. Did I say that right? Was that a Merry Christmas and a Hairy New Year? I'm not sure. Anyway.
Yeah, Hairy Christmas. Hairy Merry Christmas, yes.
Hairy Merry Christmas, something like that.
I remember Hairy Mary. I think I dated her in high school. All right. Want to thank everyone for choosing this, that are here live. For choosing to spend Christmas Eve with us. That is so flattering and so delightful. And I'll tell you what, it's been an insulin party. Because Mrs. K has made the chocolate chip cookies. She made that Christmas crack I was telling you about. We finally get to eat some.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Too many sweets. I got a feeling I'm going to get some bad readings. But, hey, one day out of the year, well, maybe 10 days out of it, well, maybe 30 days out of it. Well, anyway, it's a special day, and I'm going to enjoy it, blast it, with you. It's great stories here for Krishmush.
Yeah, we got a full hour, I was going to say, we got a full hour of Campbell Playhouse, which is what the Mercury Theater of the Air became once they got a sponsor. Not a sponsor, but a sponsor, yeah.
Yep. And I'm looking through the years here, Dave. Let's see. In our first year for Christmas, we did a little bit of comedy. We had Boris Karloff playing Santa and stuff like that. One year later, in 2018, let's see. We did some Christmas presents. We had The Shadow, The Whistler, and some other dramas. Then, moving on to 2019 for Christmas, what did we do? Why, we had The Wizard of Oz. And,
Yeah.
Yeah, and then as another feature, the next day we did Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And even Jack Benny with Snow White and the Seven Gangsters.
Yeah, that's right.
Last year for Christmas, hey, we did... what did we do? We did some Christmas music, and we had WCRS Radio Stage, Spirit of Christmas Past, a great story from WCRS Radio Stage, and an erstwhile version of A Christmas Carol from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, plus some comedy that weekend as well with Santa, Burns and Allen, and Life of Riley, and Blondie. This year, we're taking the traditional path with A Christmas Carol, starring the great Orson Welles and Lionel Barrymore.
Yeah, Lionel Barrymore, of course, for 8-9 years in a row or so, played Ebenezer Scrooge on the radio. And it must have been Campbell that sponsored it, even before... they became associated with the Mercury Theater. And so they did even 2 years there with Orson Welles as well. So, but I think it was like 8 or 9 years in a row they presented A Christmas Carol. And that's what we have tonight, a wonderful treat.
Yep, and Lionel Barrymore is just so good at playing a cantankerous type such as Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, when you think about it, he played opposite Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life as the cantankerous banker who made George Bailey's life a living Hades. He was even a little on the cantankerous side in that radio soap of, was it Dr. Kildare, I believe?
Yes, yes.
He was a little cranky, a little crusty. But tonight you'll get to hear him as Ebenezer Scrooge, and I would assume that Orson Welles is Bob Cratchit.
No, Orson Welles is the narrator throughout. I think he took another couple roles throughout it, but he's the narrator throughout the story.
Ah, okay. I assumed wrong. But we do want to thank you. Yes, thank you, Fogsbane. Happy holidays and cheers to you and your family as well. And that goes for CW, who joined us. You know the number, CW. Hint, hint. And GGSI Paper is with us live as well. Plus others that we can't see. A friend of mine from Jamaica listens often. Chris, hope you're listening tonight to A Christmas Carol. And we just wish you guys all the best of the season. And hope everybody's staying healthy, too. Cause, you know.
And we have all kinds of Christmas goodies to hand out after our main story as well.
Oh, yeah. Extra features coming your way. As we start off, however, with our feature from the Campbell Playhouse. And I hope you're enjoying the Christmas carols that are in the slideshow. I'll let you dwell on that as you're watching the pictures go by. Yes, there are Christmas carols. Okay, Dave got it. Oh, Carol Channing.
Oh, by the
Carol
way,
Burnett.
It was brilliant. They found the actual ad for this very story that we're doing tonight. I thought that was very, very cool.
I did. I was excited when I saw it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is the exact one from this show. By gosh, I'm going to use that in the slideshow as well. That was fun stumbling onto that. I do have a great deal of fun creating the ads for the show. Some I'm not as proud of as others. Some I take great pride in my little fun putting those together, and hopefully you folks get some amusement out of it. Because I do.
Yep.
That's important. I think if we're actually having fun, and we always do, I don't ever remember any of us saying, you know, that show kind of sucked. And I think it shows when you see a performer of any kind and they're really enjoying it, it shows. And I think it enhances the experience of whatever you're watching, you know, or listening to in this case.
And I think it's I think you can tell that for the four of us that do the show. I think there's only three of us here tonight, Dave. Right,
there's only three
right,
of us here.
But there is three of us. But I'm just, for the four of us, you can tell we have a general, a true affection and friendship with one another. And that
indeed.
Even includes the one and only gal that just tuned in.
Greetings and felicitations. Happy Festivus to the rest of us.
Well said.
There you go.
Yes.
It's all just a fraud. It's a dream. We really can't stand each other.
That's right. You should hear us fight like crazy when it's all over.
There are so many
mudslinging.
Yeah, right. There are so many versions of this story, both radio, audio, and movies, and even television shows and such.
Yep.
What was your first one, and what's your favorite one?
I'm going to defer that to CW first. I got to think that over.
Wow.
I'll go ahead and give you guys a second to think. My very first one was the one with Alistair Sims. That's still one I really enjoy.
Is that the 1935 version?
No. That's 53, I think it is. 51 or 53. I'm not sure because I wasn't born yet, but 51 or 53, and a really good version. Now, the 39 one, there's some neat things in that as well. They focused on some different things, and Jacob Marley was invisible in that. I thought that was pretty cool. The Patrick Stewart one has a lot of merit to it because it really was a much more horrifying story. But I still kind of think because it was my first, I think the Alistair Sims movie version is truly indeed one of my favorites.
How about you, CW? What's your first exposure to A Christmas Carol?
I think it was an animated one, to be perfectly frank. Was animated.
Okay.
I saw that one. The one I am kind of partial to for live action is... Well, there's tons of so many varieties. We'd be here all night. But I like the George C. Scott.
That's a very good one.
That was interesting as well. Yeah.
All right. So after some thought, I think I remember my first exposure to the story was Walt Disney's version with Mickey Mouse and the gang telling the story, which was pretty good. And then later I caught the 1935 version and the George C. Scott version. And I haven't seen the Patrick Stewart one just yet, but I want to.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say I saw the actress Vanessa Williams, you remember her. Vanessa Williams,
yeah.
I saw her version of it. And for soap opera fans, Susan Lucci, who has been on All My Children since Dinosaurs Are Walking the Earth.
Was she one of the elves? Because I didn't realize how short she is.
No.
So did she play
an elf?
No. She is a very petite individual, but she did the Scrooge character. They just wrote it for a female. She did a very nice job.
Oh, that's a neat wrinkle.
Yep. And I'll tell you Gar's favorite, and I don't know what his first one was, but I do know what his favorite is, because he and I have talked about this before. His favorite one is the Bill Murray Scrooged.
Oh,
that's good.
He loves that.
Yeah, that is outstanding.
Yet another great version.
Yeah, and even the musical version, the Scrooge, is a good one as well, with Albert Finney.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah.
All good stories, but we really think...
Go ahead, though.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say they're all really good, but I think that you folks are really going to enjoy our story tonight. This version should be some kind of special from the Campbell Playhouse.
Yeah, you add Lionel Barrymore and Orson Welles, you can't go wrong.
Two great voices, great stars.
Beautiful team-up.
Well, we might as well get started, especially since we got some extra features for this weekend. Hope to get as many of them in as possible, because Dave did the dirty work, did the hard work, and uploaded a bunch of stuff, probably more than we can use. But, hey, that gives us plenty to choose from for later on towards the end of the show. So let's get started here with the Campbell Playhouse version of A Christmas Carol. It is from...
December 24th, 1939.
The makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Clearly, a number of ways in which A Christmas Carol could be introduced. Myself, I am most struck by the happy fortune that enables us on this Christmas Eve to present Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the best-loved actor of our time, in the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol. It is the American way, as we know, to establish traditions quickly where popular instinct and sentiment pronounce them sound. And so it is that today, actually only the fifth anniversary of Mr. Lionel Barrymore's first playing of the part of Ebenezer Scrooge for the Campbell Playhouse, there is, I think, in all America, nothing more eagerly awaited, more firmly rooted in the hearts of the radio family that numbers millions, that this yearly performance of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol, as Charles Dickens wrote it, has by common consent long been a classic. Mr. Lionel Barrymore's appearance in it is rapidly becoming one. And now, just before A Christmas Carol, Ernest Chappell has a special Christmas greeting from the makers of Campbell's Soups. Mr. Chappell.
Thank you, Orson Welles. As the old year draws toward its close, we of Campbell's feel a bond of warmth and gratitude toward each of you, our friends. For you see, in homes everywhere throughout the land, Campbell's Soups have been welcome. Day by day and week by week, you have placed confidence in us and in the foods we make. And there isn't anything we appreciate more deeply than the fact that so many of you have elected to let Campbell's make your soups for you. And so when Christmas comes, we look about to find some way to show our appreciation, some Christmas present by which to say thank you. The gift we chose 5 Christmases ago and have chosen each year since has become a part of Christmas to many and many a family. It has become a Christmas custom to gather around the radio to hear and to enjoy a Christmas carol. And since it is Christmas Eve, we hope, too, that the younger members of the family are permitted to stay up and listen before dreams and visit of Santa. We get a great deal of pleasure planning and preparing this Christmas gift, and now it's ready. Off come the wrappings. Off come the tags that say, please do not open till Christmas. Out comes the card, to you from Campbell's. And here is the gift itself.
Molly was dead to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Molly was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Molly were partners for I don't know how many years. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place if ever there was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal little cell beyond worked at his ledgers.
18, 20, 21, 22. Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. 23, 26, 29.
It's
Christmas Day. 11, 13, 17, 7,
carry 1. Our rendezvous.
Bob Cratchit.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Stop badging Sam Caterwauling.
Yes, sir.
15, 17, 21,
carry. Impudence. Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you in charge.
Sorry,
yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas. Blah.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Ah,
humbug. Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Now, I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're bored enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Ah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be? When I live in such a world of fools. What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas. A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle?
Nephew? Keep your Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, I've no doubt.
I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it ever has done you.
There are many things from which I derive good by which I have not profited materially, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. As to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense.
Don't be angry, Uncle. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I've tried. A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Ah, humbug.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and the missus, and to Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense. Twaddle. Lummery. Talking of Christmas and not two sixpences to jingle together in his trousers pocket. You there, Bob Cratchit. Come here. What are you doing there?
Putting a bit more coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge, seeing it's so cold in there, sir.
Well, you put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire indeed. I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fella like your situation, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley.
Yes, sir.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight. I'm Scrooge.
Well, now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities. And hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comfort, sir.
Are there no prisoners?
There are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses? They're still in operation, I trust.
I wish I could say they are not. But they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful cause.
No, sir, all these institutions that you mention are flourishing. But it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made.
Nah.
A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see. And what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be let alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to keep a lot of idle people and make them merry. I help support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die.
Well, and my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word for it that all this is so.
The truth, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, so be it, then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, please. Sir, I couldn't help overhearing. I should like to contribute something.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. But there are others in worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit! Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Close the door.
Yes, sir. I have closed it, sir. 24, 31, 1 and carry 3. A new scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim. The comb for Martha. 33, 3 and carry 3. Hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-used, I'd be bound.
Well, sir, I...
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year. Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose it's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. Do you understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will, sir, indeed. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
The office was closed in a twinkling, and Bob Cratchit, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no greatcoat, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of its being Christmas Eve, and then ran home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Buff. Scrooge, on the other hand, took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern. Having read all the newspapers and spent the rest of the evening with his banker's book, went to his dismal house. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge likes it.
The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, had to grope with his hands through the fog and the frost to find a door. Scrooge walked through his rooms to see that all was right. Sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa. Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Closed the door, locked himself in, double locked himself in. And took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Marley! 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 I could have sworn I saw... Oh, humbug. Marley's been dead these 7 years. Humbug. It's all humbug. What I need is a good night. What's that? Someone's in the pine cellar. But the door's locked and double locked. It's coming closer. Outside my door. I won't believe it. It's humbug still.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Looks like Ebenezer is getting paged here by, perhaps, the dead.
Yeah, it's got Johnny from Philip Morris. Calling for Philip Morris.
Calling for Ebenezer Scrooge.
Scrooge. A fine thing, picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. That's how I make my spare change for gas.
There you go.
Wow. They must have big pockets out there the way gas prices are today.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
I fault you not.
Thank you very much.
For your craft. I wanna know how you get away from it wearing that beak thing.
Well, they're so busy watching the beak that, you know, they don't notice picking the pockets.
Oh, yeah. See, wow, that's a heck of a mask. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, look over here and here and here and here. Yeah, okay.
Just look up the sleeve.
You see. Yeah, look the sleeve. Oh, I don't take discovery. I'm not getting rid of that.
Nope. Yep, very, very fine telling and very true to, of course, you know, you can't even do it an hour, the full novel, but they're doing a good job of a very nice adaptation of Christmas Carol.
That it is, and
it is.
No disappointment so far, that's for sure. Lionel Barrymore is true to what I would expect from him.
Yeah, part of the great Barrymores, John Barrymore, Ethel Barrymore, and Lionel Barrymore, they were all actually really the first family of theater is what they were called. And, of course, John Barrymore did an early version of Jekyll and Hyde, I believe it was. Wasn't it?
Yeah, 1920 he portrayed Jekyll and Hyde, did his transformation sans makeup. And it was quite amazing.
Yeah. And Ethel didn't go as much into the movies. Did a few of them, of course, but not a whole lot. And
the
movie
I remember her doing most is with Jennifer Jones in a movie called Portrait of Jenny.
Oh, gosh. I remember that.
That is a really, really sort of eerie movie in the sense that it's a while where you can't understand, is this just a figment of this guy's imagination, or is he really seeing this girl who's a woman, becoming a woman and painting her portrait? And Ethel Barrymore did a wonderful, very subtle performance in that, Portrait of Jenny.
And it goes down two generations down to Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, it skips a generation.
Well, yeah, there was a John Barrymore, but he didn't. That was a junior or second or something, and he was in a few things, but he really didn't hit it. Drew did far better than he ever did.
Yeah, she knocks it out of the park. Everyone remembers her as a little girl in E.T., but Firestarter, but also she's on a performance in Home Fries. It's kind of an independent movie that was really good. I think, what was the other movie she did? She did it with Whoopi Goldberg. Was it Riding in the Car with Boys or something to that effect? She's a wonderful, wonderful actress.
Yeah, she did one that, I'm not a big Adam Sandler fan, but she did one with Adam Sandler, and he was played more or less closer to a normal person in that. 51st Dates. I always consider that her movie, not his. And
fun movie. Yep.
Yeah, and if you want to go on the whimsical side, okay, yeah, she did the Charlie's Angels flicks. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Dave, were you choking on a chicken bone there or something like that?
Wow.
Yeah, that was close. thought we were going in a different direction there. Yeah, plus Drew really showed her talents to Dave Letterman, as I recall.
Oh, yes, she did, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Like a second to last night or something,
yeah.
Not many times you can leave Dave Letterman speechless. My, oh, my.
Indeed. She outdid Madonna.
Yeah. But yet she did it in a far more classy way, I think. Madonna was a little coarse, a little... and deliberately so, I'm sure. She does definitely enjoyed shock value.
Yeah.
She is indeed. Yeah. Yep. Dear material girl, most assuredly. But yeah, the way Drew did it was just like totally unexpected. Hello, New Orleans. It's Mardi Gras. And then, you know, waving to the audience, you know, and just sat down.
Yep. Hello, come in.
Uh-oh. Did Rosie the Maid break down again?
Yeah, I think Rosie had a little breakdown there.
So are you still happy I called in?
Absolutely.
Yes, especially for the holiday. We're very glad you're here.
Yeah. Oh, and hello to GGSI Paper and Vogs in the chat room. Hi.
There you go.
And now we shall head into part two of our amazing story.
Campbell Playhouse, A Christmas Carol. We'll be back after part two.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no. What do you want with me?
I want much of you, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Are you already particular or a ghost? All right. Who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? But you're dead. You died 7 years ago.
7 years ago this very night.
Are a ghost, then?
What's wrong, Ebenezer? Don't you believe in me?
I do not.
You doubt your senses, Ebenezer?
Yes, because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You can't be a ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There may be more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you. Humbug. Excuse me, Peter. Excuse me. I do believe in you. You are the ghost, Jacob.
Thank you.
What? Why do you walk the earth, Jacob? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide to witness what it cannot share but might have shared on earth and turn to happiness.
Oh, tell me, Jacob, what is that chain you wear around you?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard by my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer?
Cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, purses.
Yours was as heavy and as long as this 7 years ago. And you have labored on it since, Ebenezer.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me.
Comfort I have none to give. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger. Weary journeys lie before me.
You travel fast?
Yes, Ebenezer. On the wings of the wind.
7 years dead and traveling all the time?
7 years, Ebenezer. 7 years of remorse. Ebenezer, do you know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused?
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, they were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Oh, Jacob, don't take on so. Jacob.
Listen to me, Ebenezer.
I listen to you, Jacob. Go on, Jacob, speak to me. But don't be so flowery.
Ebenezer, I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. Do you hear that, Ebenezer?
Yes, Jacob. You always were a good friend to me, Jacob. Thank you, Jacob. But go on. Go on. Go on. How shall I escape? Oh, I'm afraid, Jacob.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the only chance and hope, Jacob?
It is your only chance and hope.
Well, then I think I'd rather not.
Without their visit, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow, when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Ebenezer, look that for your own sake you remember what has passed between us. And remember, when the bell tolls one, look for the first spirit.
Marley. Jacob Marley.
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed fully dressed. Suddenly the curtains of his bed were drawn aside. Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. As close to it as I am now to you. And I am standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child. Yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Who is that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
You are the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold me?
I am that spirit.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
But what do you want of me? What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me.
Oh, no, you're not out of the window. I can't do that. I'll fall down. I'm not a spirit. I'm mortal. I'll fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me.
What's become of the city? And there's snow upon the ground. Where are we?
These are the shadows of the things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
That building. I was a boy there. Yes. I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that part?
I could walk it blindfold.
Strange you've forgotten so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family. alone.
Yes, yes, I see. I know that boy. Oh, I was so lonely. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. And what is that on your cheek?
It's nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. I wish I... it's too late for that now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. The waits came to my door singing Christmas carols last night. There was a boy like that among them. A poor, thin, pale boy in a ragged coat. I'd like to have given him something.
Is that all? Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Let us see another Christmas. Do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it? Know it? Why, this is the counting house where I was apprenticed.
Listen.
Here's your partners.
Why, it's my old master. Bless his heart, old Fezziwig. My master, alive again. And host at one of his Christmas parties. Listen to him.
Red Benito, and back to your places.
And there's Dick Wilkins. Poor Dick. Dear, 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 yes. And look, there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself, looking younger than any of them. And the table's all loaded with roast and cider and mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with a light heart and a gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Yes, yes, yes. Merciful heaven. How happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter? Small indeed, isn't it?
He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
Ah, it's not that. It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks, in things so tiny it's impossible to count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost her.
What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all, Spirit.
Something, I think.
No. Only, it's just that I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now, that's all.
My time grows short, and we have yet another journey to make.
Where now?
Come. This is our last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here, in this little room, with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
Oh, no. Spare me this.
You're older now, a man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, please.
She knows it, too. That girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes.
It matters little, Ebenezer, to you. Very little. I know that.
Belle, have I changed toward you?
When we were engaged, we were both poor.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better at least to be happy. You're changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. Do you blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement?
In words, no. Never.
In what, then?
In a changed nature. In an altered spirit. In everything that made my love of any value in your sight. So I release you from the promise.
Belle!
Oh, at first it may cause you pain to lose me. A very brief pain. But soon it will be dim, like a half-remembered dream. An unprofitable dream. And you will be glad to be awake from such a dream. May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Ebenezer. For the love of him you once were.
Spirit, it's enough. Show me no more. Take me home.
These were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are.
do not blame me.
No more. No more.
One shadow more. Come.
Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man might have been you, and the woman beside him your wife, and that girl. That girl might have been your daughter, Ebenezer Scrooge. She might have called you father. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Please let me go. Show me no more.
Listen now, while they speak, Ebenezer.
Well, I saw an old friend of yours today.
Who was it?
Yes.
How can I? It's... Oh, I know. Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered. And there was a candle inside, so I couldn't help seeing him. His partner, Marley, lies at the point of death, I hear. And there Scrooge sat all alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit, spirit, I can bear no more. Leave me. Haunt me no more. Take me back. Take me back.
On the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night.
You are listening to the Campbell Playhouse, bringing you tonight the fifth annual presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, produced by Orson Welles and starring Lionel Barrymore as Scrooge. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
And now back to the Campbell Playhouse and the fifth annual presentation of A Christmas Carol, a Christmas present from the makers of Campbell's Soups.
Stroke of one, Scrooge awakened suddenly and sat him bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second specter would appear. At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling.
And tremble he will until the third, second and third ghosts finish their visitations.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Dio, you know, not everybody has as many regrets as I think Scrooge should have if he doesn't have.
There is one line that I think Scrooge rings true. I don't know if they recited it properly in this one, as I've seen it, or rather heard it in other, but never in so many words or in such a word do people condemn wealth and bemoan poverty, but condemn wealth at the same time. Something to that effect. I have to look that up. But it's right. I mean, yeah, we think poverty is dreadful, and then you say that person's so rich, it's disgusting. You know, where's that happy medium?
I wouldn't mind being a little disgusting. Just a little. Just a little.
You are my brother. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Oh, good. That's a relief.
Be at ease.
Thank you.
You're in that category right there, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
You've brought such comfort and Christmas joy to me, you two. I'm so grateful.
Tis the season.
Nobody wants their efforts to be for nothing, and you've made me feel fulfilled.
There you go.
There you are.
Something really, really wrong with me.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, wish to be filthy rich because I can purchase a great deal of soap.
Soap? A deal of soap?
Yeah, for being filthy rich.
You need a great deal? Do you need a great deal of soap?
If
when you're filthy
rich,
you need soap.
Rich, yeah. Soap.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You know. There you are. You know, you only buy not that peasant soap that you usually get, but, you know, that kind of luxury soap you see in the mall for $20 a bar. What are they putting there? Gold flakes. Oh, yeah, $20 a bar. It's got gold in there, a little silver tie in there, you know, embroidered with embossing on it.
I don't know. I don't think I want gold flakes in my soap. You don't know where that would go when you're showering.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes soap goes in places. Yeah, you don't want it to be gold.
No.
I'll settle for good old lava soap.
It's sparkling in the most unique places.
That's why I stick to Irish Spring.
Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman too.
Strong enough for a man, but I like it too. Hey.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's
why. It isn't as effective when Dale tries to say that. No.
Yeah, no.
Hey,
I didn't have the right lilt.
Is it my imagination, or was that Orson Welles who was Marley? They disguised his voice a bit mechanically. So, like I said, that's why I said that. Not only was he the narrator throughout, I believe he took on several parts. I think that was one of the parts that he took on.
Parts is parts.
Parts is parts. That's right.
They think you wise person.
Wonder if he tried to get more money. Hey, I'm doing at least four voices. I should get at least four times the pay. I can see Wells doing that. I can see him doing that.
Oh, yeah. I can see him demanding it, yes.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, he was only like 23 years old at this particular time. Maybe 24 at the most.
True.
So.
He was a youngster.
Yeah, him... there aren't many actors that have that kind of fire. I mean, who else? Kenneth Branagh, who did that play Henry VIII. He got an Oscar for that. He did. I mean, he did the same thing Wells did. He directed it. He wrote the screenplay. He acted in it. I don't know if he knew how to sew. He probably would do some of the costumes. He did pretty much everything.
Yeah, and quite well.
Yeah.
Well then, let's head back to the conclusion already. Time is flying.
No, part three, isn't it?
Oh yeah, we got
part
four
three.
Parts. Four parts tonight. Parts
yep,
is parts.
Yep, yep, yep.
I thought we had a few ghosts to go. There's more time here. Let's get into part three then of A Christmas Carol from the Campbell Playhouse.
At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. Then as he sat in his bed, he became aware gradually of a great blaze of ruddy light seemed to shine upon him from the adjoining room. He got up softly and shuffled in his slippers to the door. It was his own sitting room, there was no doubt about that. But it had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch in shape not unlike Plenty's horn, and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the corner.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge, and know me better, man. I am the ghost of Christmas Pet.
Spirit, take me where you will. Last time I went against my will and learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge, touch my robe.
prayers you brought me, Spirit.
To an humble dwelling in an humble street.
It's miserable enough.
Yet there is happiness there.
Who are these people? Who's that woman? And the children?
These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. See his wife dressed in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, laying the table for their Christmas dinner. And there, assisting her, is her daughter, Belinda. And the young man with the fork in the stuffing, that's Master Peter Cratchit. And the two little Cratchits. Listen, Scrooge, and watch.
Sit you down before the fire, Martha, and have a warm, Lord bless you.
Where, Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is. And sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Oh, Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
As good as gold and better.
I like church, Mother. Oh, they sang the nicest songs. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? And why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who it was made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son.
Are we ready to eat, Father?
Oh, come on, children, you're all ready. Come, come, take your places and wait your turn. There's plenty of stuffing and dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, take care of Tiny Tim and see that he eats plenty.
Yes,
he must
Mother.
Get strong and well. Now sit down, everyone.
Yes, come on,
and now, my dears.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner. And a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
No, 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 kind spirit. Say he'll be spared. Say he'll live.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, Ebenezer, the child will die.
And pray thy name. Amen.
Amen.
And now, my dears, with such a dinner, a toast, a Merry Christmas to us all, and God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
And now to Mr. Scrooge. I'll give you a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
Oh,
the founder of the feast, indeed, who pays you all 15 shillings a week. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I hope he'd have good appetite for it.
Oh, my dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you, poor fellow.
My dear Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say God bless him too, Mother, and everyone.
Yes, and Mr. Scrooge.
Very well, then.
There was nothing of high mark in all this. They were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well-dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof. Their clothes were scanty and had known, very likely, the insides of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another and contented with the time. When at last they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them. And especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. Many calls Scrooge made that night with a ghost of Christmas present. Down among the miners they went who labor in the bowels of the earth. And out to sea among the sailors at their watch. Dark, ghostly figures in their several stations. Much they saw and far they went. And many places they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close at home. By poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, and jail, where vain man in his little brief authority had not made fast the door and barred the spirit out, the spirit left his blessing. It was a long night. It was only a night. And it was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older. Clearly older.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight. Hark. The hour has come.
Oh, not yet. Not yet. No, there are still more things I wish to learn.
These you will learn from still another spirit. Still another spirit, Ebenezer.
Scrooge looked about him for the ghost. It had vanished. But he found himself once more in his bed, in his dressing gown, in his nightcap. He'd heard the clock strike. And then he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld the third spirit. A solemn phantom. Shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him slowly and silently, like a mist along the ground.
I know you. You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You'll show me the shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit, ghost of the future. Oh, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. Yet, as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on. Lead on! The night is waning fast. Time is precious. Spirit, why have you brought me here again? Into Bob Cratchit's home? Please, it's not the same. Why is it so quiet? So very quiet here.
Mother, please.
Oh, my son. My little son. Tell me, Tim. I loved him so.
Mother, dear, you mustn't. It's almost time for Father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes. Yes, Martha. He's late tonight. He walks slower than he used to. Yet I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
So have I, Mother. But he was light to carry.
And his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all. Bob.
Good evening, my dear.
You're late, Bob.
I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green a place it is. You'll see it often. I promised him. I promised Tiny Tim we'd walk there on Sunday.
Oh, Father, dear. It's God's will, Bob.
I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My son. My little son, Tiny Tim. And I loved him so.
Oh, that's cruel. Cruel. Spirit, can't you give me one ray of hope that I may change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? Gravestone, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only? Will you not speak to me, spirit? What is that grave to which you point? Now I see. There's writing on that stone. The name on the gravestone is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, Spirit, no. Spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. Why show me this if I'm past all hope? Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows that have come, that you've shown me, by an altered life. I have honored Christmas in my heart, and I'll try and keep it all the year. I live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Tell me, do, Spirit, please tell me that I can sponge away the writing on that stone, Spirit. I beg of you, Spirit, Spirit.
Ah, yes, Christmas spirits, you know, like Bailey's Irish cream. There you go.
Yeah. Vodka,
oh, yes, indeed.
Which, by the way, is quite delicious in a fresh brewed cup of Folgers Black Silk. Oh, I love that coffee. Beware. Beware, it's rocket fuel. I mean, it is a dark coffee.
I wonder if there is a... I've had mocha chocolate cake before where they put coffee in it, and I've had cakes that had Baileys in them as well. I wonder if it would be plausible to combine the Folgers Dark Silk with the Baileys in a chocolate cake, and a mocha Bailey's chocolate cake. Are you still conscious there, Dale?
No, I'm just considering how I'm going to make it all happen. You inspired
me. Extra coming for Merry Insulin Christmas, Dale.
Yep.
Oh, yes. there you are.
The thought is very appealing to me, because sometimes
Sugar New Year.
Yes. I've been good otherwise. I've been kind of starving myself and keeping the carbs way, way down in anticipation of the little treats that we're having. The other thing I like sometimes in my dark coffee. Now, I don't usually like milk or cream with my coffee. However, a little chocolate milk. It's good. It's 1% chocolate milk my store sells, my grocery store. It's really low fat, but it's really, really good.
I think with all the caffeine in there, it probably burns out all the sugar. The caffeine probably says, oh, sugar milk. Destroy. Exterminate.
I would like to believe that is so, but that is merely a fantasy on my part, I'm sure, because I only want it to be so. But it's something I probably should not have a lot of. Damn it.
But nevertheless, that might be an interesting puzzle. Or brownies. Mocha brownies with Bailey.
Ooh. Ooh, it's almost like you're talking dirty to me.
Ah, yes. Perhaps that's another way to pick up a little extra gas money. Now, first of all, the chocolate. Chocolate with Bailey's Irish cream. And
oh, it's like food porn. Yeah, I think I like food a little too much. So let's continue, shall we? Because no one knows how this story is going to end.
No, I'm using my chair here.
I'm mystified myself.
I vote for Ebenezer not changing at all, but let's see what really happens as we wrap up Campbell Playhouse, A Christmas Carol.
I promise on my knees. I promise.
this? It's my bedpost. I'm home. In my own bed. In my own room. And the sun. The sun shines. It's clear. It's bright. No fog. Oh, what a beautiful day. Glorious. Glorious. Boy. Oh, boy.
Yes, sir?
What's the day?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine fella?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. All in one night. Heaven be praised.
How's that, sir?
Listen, my lad. Do you know where the poultry is in the next street?
I should say I do.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my buck?
It's hanging very well, sir.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now go around, will you, and tell them to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to know who paid for it. Now hurry along, my lad. And here's half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, too, my boy. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather, as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world.
Next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late, that was the thing he'd set his heart upon. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock had struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. And at last he came. His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too, he's on his stool and jiffy, driving away with his pen, as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
8 and 17 and 15, carry the 1, 44, carry the 2, 31, carry the 4, 8 and 6 and 14, carry the 8.
Hello, you, Cratchit?
Yes, sir.
Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm behind my time.
You are? You are? Yes, I think you are.
Oh, it's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I'm about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No. No, thank heaven I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fella. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I'll raise your salary and we'll see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family. We'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob, make up the fire. Make it up and buy another coal scuttle before you dart another eye.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. To Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh, and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. And that was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us. All of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her peace. Let every heart prepare his will. And
you have just heard our annual presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, starring Lionel Barrymore, brought to you by the makers of Campbell Soups. And now here is Orson Welles.
At this point in the program, ladies and gentlemen, it is my custom, as you know, to present to you with a few words of introduction our guest of the evening. With your consent, I shall dispense with this tonight. To introduce tonight's guest to the Campbell Playhouse audience or to any other American audience is an extravagant and superfluous procedure. For if ever an actor has won for himself a lasting place in the hearts of his fellow countrymen through years of unsparing and inspiring service, that actor is Lionel Barrymore. To Lionel Barrymore.
Thank you, Orson Welles. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fourth year I've had the pleasure of appearing in the Christmas Carol here on the Campbell Playhouse. And I assure you all, it's a pleasure that never tires. As long as I can remember, this has been one of my favorite stories. When we were children, it was read to us regularly this time of year, as it is to millions of children right now. And like many of them, I'm sure, the three of us, Ethel, Jack, and I, with the aid of a sheet and some old ironware, made a play of it. As I remember, we had three Scrooges in that production.
Mr. Barrymore, who played Tiny Tim?
I think we had three Tiny Tims, too. But seriously, I can think of no part that I've enjoyed playing again and again as much as I have the part of that squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, Ebenezer Scrooge. And I can think of no happier or more suitable choice for the makers of Campbell's Soups to offer the people of America as their Christmas present each year than Charles Dickens' well-beloved story, Christmas Carol. Good night, Orson. Good night, everybody. And a merry, merry Christmas to you all.
Good night, Mr. Barrymore. Merry Christmas to you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, for next Sunday night, we're happy to announce our version a great and truly American story by a great American novelist, Come and Get It by Edna Ferber. Against a background of the mighty forests of Miss Ferber's own Wisconsin, it tells a stirring tale of the men and women who live and die in the woods in order that lumber may come down the rivers every spring into the cities of the modern world. Like so many of Miss Ferber's epic romances of American life, it was made from a best-selling novel into a highly successful motion picture. Now we bring it to you on the air. Story of a man and his son and the girl they both loved. Lotta, played for us by one of the loveliest and most accomplished of Hollywood's younger dramatic actresses, Miss Frances D. And so until next week, until Come and Get It with Frances D., my sponsors, the makers of Campbell Soups, and all of us on the Campbell Playhouse remain, as always, obediently yours. But just a minute, Benny, ladies and gentlemen, it's the night before Christmas, and all through the Campbell Playhouse, not a creature is stirring that doesn't join Lionel Barrymore in wishing you a merry, merry Christmas. This goes for all of us, from my sponsor, from myself, from all of us, from Don McBain, who runs the machinery in the control room, to Miss Helgren, who types the Campbell Playhouse scripts. A merry Christmas from Benny Herman and his band of merry melodians. Merry Christmas. You get the idea. From Max Sayre's choristers. From Harry Esman and his crew of sound effects technicians. Thank you, and from Orson Welles and his considerable aggregation of dramatic talent, which includes, among others, Mr. Frank Reddick, Miss Georgia Backus, Miss B. Benaderet, Mr. Ray Collins, Mr. Everett Sloan, Mr. George Kalouris, Edgar Berry, Erskine Sanford, Tommy Lane, William Allen, Betty Lou Walters, Eric Burtis, and, of course, myself and George Spelvin. A Merry Christmas. How about it, ladies and gentlemen?
A Merry Christmas!
And finally, as Tiny Tim says,
God bless us, everyone.
The makers of Campbell Soups join Orson Welles in inviting you to be with us in the Campbell Playhouse again next Sunday evening when we bring you Edna Ferber's Come and Get It with Miss Frances D as our guest. Meanwhile, if you have enjoyed our fifth annual presentation of A Christmas Carol, won't you tell your grocer so this week when you order Campbell's Soups? This is Ernest Chappell saying thank you and a Merry Christmas to you all. Broadcasting System.
Yes, it is. And this is Eerie House Radio. That was A Christmas Carol and a very, very, very nice adaptation.
I'm thinking next year, Gar talked about this once, and I'm very aware of it. Mutual Radio Theater, Hans Conrad played Scrooge in the story called The Last of Scrooge. It's what happened to Scrooge after he became all-loving and giving. So a very interesting tale that perhaps next year we'll hear on Eerie House Radio.
Perhaps.
That was nice.
Yep. And Dave, thanks for digging up this version. This was a wonderful thing to share with our audience tonight. But the sharing ain't done yet.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of little gifts to unwrap here underneath the Eerie House Christmas tree.
That we do. And without further ado, we should probably just kick things off with a little Eerie House special. Gotta find it. Where is our holiday song?
Eerie.
Eerie. Are we killing time right now? Or you want me to kill some time?
Nope,
for
we
you?
Got it. Here we go. From the
okay, very good.
From the Eerie House Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Twas the night before Christmas in the hall of the castle.
My monsters were having a Yuletide hassle.
The tree was all trimmed in ghoulish things.
Like werewolf fangs and vampire wings.
It was the monster's holiday.
They were up to no good.
It was the monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters, sure.
It was the monster's holiday.
They found themselves a new play.
It was the monster's holiday.
They planned to rob, sent to slay.
They were making a list and checking it twice.
Megatine wanted a shiny new trike.
A new chain for Yanish, a brace for Igor's back.
A speed shaver for Wolfman, a new cape for Drek.
They were up to no good.
It was the monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters, sure.
It was the monster's holiday.
They found themselves a new play.
It was the monster's holiday.
They planned to rob and to slay.
The mummy was to signal from the castle roof.
Very first sound of reindeer hoof.
As Santa slid down the chimney wall.
The zombies were to make off with sleigh and all.
From beyond the moat, there arose such a clatter.
I jumped to the window to see what was the matter.
Like a bolt of lightning, it happened so quick.
And there, in our midst, stood old Saint Nick.
He began to dig down deep in his sack.
And he came up with a traction for Igor's back.
Drag off his cape, Frankie tried, made him behave.
Even Wolfman was happy, now he can shave.
It was the monster's holiday.
And all ended well.
It was the monster's holiday.
And Santa really was swell.
It was the monster's holiday.
No need to rob Santa's sleigh.
It was the monster's holiday.
Maybe next year he'll come back.
So the children everywhere were spared the grief
of losing their presents in a monster sleigh thief.
Now the monsters love Santa and say they'll behave.
And never again rob sleighs or graves.
Igor, what do you think of Santa now?
Santa, good.
and Santa said as he drove out of sight,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night, bleh bleh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open hearse.
Dashing through the snow.
Where is that reindeer with the bloody, red nose?
On Donner, on Blitzen, on Dancer. What are the names of the other reindeer?
It doesn't matter. We ate them yesterday.
To be honest, I only hit a little bit of their blood. Bleh, bleh.
Anyone for antler soup?
Dear Santa, Santa buddy, slip the flip phone under the tree for me, a new remote for when I lose it. Santa buddy, hurry down my chimney tonight.
Dear Santa, Santa buddy, a new pair of suspenders or two, light blue, new undies and some socks that stay up. Santa buddy, hurry down my chimney tonight.
Think of all the fun I've missed. I lost my specs again, and I just get hit.
Next year, I would be so good if I can just find my neighborhood. Santa Pally, I want a scooter to pick up food and chicks.
It's such a long walk out to the store. Santa buddy, hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa bro, there's one thing I really do need for me, a soft and cushy toilet seat that heats my beneath. And hurry down my chimney tonight.
Santa friend, how about a lottery win or two? I'm sure that I can learn to make that do. So hurry down my chimney tonight.
My Christmas tree, 'cause I can no longer get down on my knees.
Put my star on the top tree nub, 'cause if I fall down, then I can't get up.
Santa buddy, forgot to mention one little thing, vitamin D.
A box or two of Kaopectate, Rolaids,
and some baby aspirin tonight. Hurry down with my meds tonight. Hurry tonight, your pal Dave.
That's right, Dave. Big Lee and Al Clash with Santa Buddy. Nice.
And
Al,
if
Al,
you go
well
to Erie, I was going to say, if you get to Erie House Radio Facebook page or Weirdness Really Bad Movie Facebook page, you'll be able to find the full music video of Al and I and Howlin' Harvey Clues, who is a weekend Santa at Castle Noel, put in that music video. So all kinds of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you.
it was a lot of fun.
It's an improvement from that first group. I'm kidding.
No. Actually, that first, I'm really proud of our little Monsters Holiday. And
It did come out well. It did.
You know, I'm quite surprised. I wasn't sure about how I was going to record that for you, but I'm quite pleased with it, actually. I think I was rather rather dapper there myself.
Yes. Dapper is a good word for you. It's more than you can say for the rest of us. We weren't very dapper, but...
No.
Okay, Gar is somewhat dapper. Gar was somewhat.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just put a little Barbara Steele spin on it. A
couple more years, it'll be diaper for me. Rather than dapper. Couple more years.
And just...
I don't know how many. It depends. Huh?
It depends. Yeah. I wrote the line once. Where I was supposed to, it never actually happened. I wrote it out where I'd end up arm wrestling Bob Golic because Phil Ferguson hurt his arm. He says, "Well, you aren't scared of that, are you?" I said, "Depends." He says, "Depends on what?" Says, "Not on what's the kind you buy in the store."
Yes.
That's right. Oh my.
Yes. Oh, by the way. Beverage that Scrooge was inviting Cratchit to Smoking Bishop, that has a variation of things. It was a very popular Victorian beverage of mulled wines and lemons and also varieties of Seville oranges and sugar and varieties of herbs and spices, but it was also called, and it was made with mulled wine, it's a smoking bishop, but it's also called a smoking archbishop when it's made with claret. It's also called a smoking cardinal when you make it with champagne, and it's called a smoking pope when you make it with burgundy.
Ooh.
In short,
wow.
you get to get sloshed right before Christmas services.
As one should, as one does.
Well, we got plenty of other presents there under the Erie House tree there, Dale. Would you like to unwrap another one?
Well, sure. While we're on the weirdness theme here, let's
Uh-oh.
Have another weirdness
Uh-oh.
Classic.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Santa, bring me some toys. Bring Merry Christmas to all girls and boys. And every night we'll go to sleep singing and dream about the presents you'll be bringing.
Mr. Santa, promise me please, give every reindeer a hug and a squeeze. We'll be good as good can be. Mr. Santa, don't forget me.
Mr. Santa, bring us some flicks, the kind of movies that don't make us sick. Bring us some mysteries and science fiction, and silly stuff in our weirdness tradition.
Mr. Santa, I think we know you like the weirdness really bad movie show.
Just one gag if you would please. Mr. Santa, we're down on our knees.
Brushed our teeth and done what we should. Made up the bed and scrubbed up our toesies. And we use Kleenex when we blow our noses.
Santa,
before you scoot, some funny sketches that we all could shoot. And funny jokes that hit the spot. Mr. Santa, bring us, please, please bring us. Santa, bring us a lot.
Very nice, very nice.
That was a music video that never happened. We had all figured out, and Rick and I had gone through there and set it up, and then about 12 hours before we would shoot there, the place that we were shooting at called us up and said no, we couldn't do it. After he'd already told us, and I had email confirmation, everything from him, so that was a lot of disappointment there.
Wow!
But we still had the music. I was thinking of something more old radio of the Gifts, Dale, more than the. So lots of fun down there too.
Absolutely, and let's hear a little Kenny Baker with Christmas.
And now Kenny Baker, accompanied by Harry Lubin's orchestra, the nationwide party is all yours.
Such a wonderful voice out of a tiny, tiny, tiny little man. Kenny
Baker. Kenny Baker, yeah. And he was the tenor before Dennis Day, but he hated being a stooge for Jack Benny. So Dennis Day said, I'll do it.
Obviously, I don't think he picked up on what my little joke was there. Little joke.
I got it. I got
Kenny
it.
Baker. Yeah, a different Kenny Baker.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was R2-D2. A nod to the great Kenny Baker, who played, I believe he was R2-D2. Was he not?
He was.
One of many, many roles he's played over the years, but probably the most notable is as inside of R2-D2. Yep. I don't think it's the same guy.
I don't think that's the same guy. No.
I do not think so.
He was what was that robot on Buck Rogers too?
He Tweaky.
Which was,
of course,
Mel
Blanc's voice, but...
Yeah, not his best work.
Only so much you can do with beady, 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 you know? Come on.
Yeah, I wanted to take a giant wrench to that thing, but...
By the way, the actor who was in the suit was the actor named Deep Roy.
Deep Roy.
Yeah, I'm leaving that alone.
Stop.
Sort of Linda Lovelace reference. Okay. I don't know. But anyway, We got more. We does. Let's do something a little more traditional from the world of oldie-timey radio with Eugenie Barrett.
Now it's Eugenie Barrett and Paul Whiteman as orchestra and chorus in Jingle Bells.
Get a bobtail nag to 44 his feet. Then hitch him to an open sleigh and crack, you'll take the lead. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Hey, look at that. It's Linda Lou joining us live as well. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. And yes, happy holidays to all. Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
Yep.
There you go.
Let's head back over to Weirdness Land for one more creative delight.
Okay.
I almost forgot to play this. I think maybe I was having a senior moment.
Ha! Oh, hi!
Yep.
Oh, hi, Al.
Oh, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm having a rough day.
A rough day? What do you mean?
You really want to know?
Tell me.
Well, let me tell you.
Lost my car in a big lot, heading home, but I think not. I can't find my keys, looking down on my knees. I'm walking and I don't know where I am.
Had my lunch, was a full plate, it was fine till the check came. It made me so mad, forgot what I had. Walking in, I don't know where I am.
In the meadow we can build a snowman, if we can just remember what to do.
But we could probably find out how on YouTube.
But we'd have to turn on that computer too. Later on, we'll conspire.
Take a nap and retire.
We'll face unafraid the plans that we made. I'm walking and I don't know who I am. It's that time where we give lots of presents,
and wrapping paper and a nice big bow.
There will really be some fun surprises, 'cause the card is on the inside. The card is on the inside. The
card is on the inside.
And we don't really know later on. We'll perspire as we sit in the fire.
In the fire.
We'll be unafraid
until we feel pain.
We're walking and we don't know where we are.
Walking and I don't know.
Walking and I don't know. Walking and I don't know where I am.
Well, that was nice, but I think I better go.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think this may be for you.
Oh, cool. Hey, you know what? This one just might be yours. Oh,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
You have a merry...
Hey, I know what you mean. And you have a happy new thing.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Bye.
Ah, the memories of Christmas, if you can have memories. That was our music video from last year. That was our music video from last year, yes. So.
Very nice tune. Let's head on over to the Jot'em. Yep. Let's head on over to the Jot'em Down store. Yep. A little Lum and Abner here with The Night Before Christmas.
Oh, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Simmer down for a minute.
I
want you to listen while I run through this poem I'm going to recite at the Youngin's Christmas party tonight.
You going to recite a poem?
Yeah.
Oh, me, I love to hear a piece spoken. Love it.
They wanted somebody with a good speaking voice and lots of personality.
Natural. But you'll do just as well, Lum. What poem are you going to recite?
It's a Christmas poem.
Well, sir, now, you chose a good topics for this time of year. You sure did.
I thought it sort of fit in good.
Yes, yes.
But you stand there and listen.
Yeah, go ahead. I just love Christmas. Happy Yuletide. Just love it.
Twas the night before Christmas.
What was it, Long?
I said, twas the night before Christmas.
Oh, I enjoy Christmas, my favorite holiday. Well, go ahead, Long. Start your poem. I'm dying to hear it.
Well, keep still, then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Twas the night before Christmas.
Oh, that's sweet. I just love it.
And all through the house.
All
not
through
a
whose house?
Just any house. And all through the house, not a creature was...
Oh, it's a
was...
vacant house, huh?
No, there's a family living in it. It's got some youngins.
The Bates' place?
Not necessary.
Well, they got youngins, little Doody and Doocy.
All right. Make it the Bates' then.
Yeah. Can't understand why it's so quiet around there, though. There's the noisiest two little brats I ever know. Well, go ahead, Lon.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house... What's the matter now?
All through the Bates' house.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the Bates' house,
yeah.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
He might be caught in a trap.
Keep it. A mouse. Their stockings
were... The mouse's stockings?
No, silly.
Well, I was going to say, no wonder they couldn't hear the mice if they run around their stockings. But go ahead.
Their stockings was hung by the chimney with care.
Oh, that's sweet.
In the hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Who in the world is Nick Lassoon?
Who?
That Nick Lassoon, you said you hoped he'd be there.
I said, in the hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Yeah.
That's Santa Claus.
Oh, I see, yeah.
The children...
That's the first time I ever heard him call Nick Lassoon. But it's your poem. You go ahead. Do it the way you want.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds.
That's Doody and Dulcie. Yeah, bless their hearts.
While visions of sugar plums danced through their heads.
Bless their little visions. Well, no wonder they're quiet. Them youngins are sick.
Stop interrupting, would you? Let's see, where was I at?
Damn poor little varmint.
Oh, yeah. Dance. And Mama in her kerchief.
Miss Bates dancing at that time of the night?
And I in my cap.
You, was you over there dancing with Miss Bates? Well, Lum, you ought to have taken your cap off. It ain't polite to dance with your cap on.
I weren't over there dancing with Miss Bates.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Hell, I bound you I can guess pretty close to who it was.
Who?
That Nick Lassoon.
Abner, will you just hash up and listen? It's mixed up. I forget where I was at in the poem.
Mick and Miss Bates are dancing.
Yeah. Or no.
They're going to wake up the kids, too, if they ain't careful.
And Mama in her kerchief.
In her what?
Kerchief.
Kazunkai.
And I in my cap.
Yeah, you better keep your cap on, Lum, long as you're catching cold, sneezing that away. Go ahead.
When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter.
Old man Bates coming home.
Just listen to the poem and you'll find out what it was.
Yeah, go ahead. I'd love to find out what that racket is. I still think old man Bates is mixed up in it somewhere.
I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter.
Dogus, could you hear it clean over to your place?
Abner, will you keep quiet?
That's more likely how you caught that cold lump running around your nightshirt. Go ahead.
Away to the window, I flew like a flash.
Good for you.
Tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
Just barely made it, huh?
The breast of the new fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below.
Mom, don't change the subject. What was that racket going on out there in the yard?
I'm coming to it. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer.
Eight tiny... Mom Edwards, do you actually claim you seen a herd of midget reindeers run around the Bates' yard?
I told you to keep quiet. More rapid than eagles.
Nice rabbits and eagles.
He whistled and shouted and called him by name.
Mom, you better lay down. That cold give you a fever.
Get away from me, Abner. Now, Dasher. Now, Dancer. Now, Prancer.
Mom, calm down now, Lom.
On, Comet. On, Cupid. On, Donder and Blitzen.
Hey, Lom, watch your language. Watch your language.
Yeah, howdy, 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 howdy. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. Well, howdy, Grandpap. Doggies, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it's time to go on over to the Christmas party. You fellas ready?
Aye, Grannies, I am. I'm getting out of here right now.
Hey, wait a minute. Lom, come back Good here now. Hey, Lom! Oh, me, Grandpap, this is the worst one Christmas I ever seen.
Why? What's the trouble?
Well, ain't you heard?
No.
Well, Lom's got to go over and recite a poem when he's so sick he's got the hallucinations. The little Bates is younger, laid up with the visions. And her mama's down there with the Mr. Lassoon. Old man Bates is out in your yard raising a ruckus. You can hear all over town. You better go on over the party, Grandpa, by yourself.
Well, ain't you coming?
No, I think I better stay here and wait for the call.
What call?
Why, the one from the corner. Old man Bates ever catches them two in there dancing and carry on, that Nick Lassoon's a dead goose.
Yes, yes, yes. Beware of Nick Lassoon.
Nick Lassoon, yes.
Nick Lassoon.
Oh, my. That was such a joy.
It was. It's been a joy sharing a little bit of Christmas Eve with my dear, dear Erie House friends and family. And I do look at you as family. Sorry about that.
Oh. Sorry, you can't borrow the car, son.
All right.
No money. Can't borrow the money. Sorry, yeah. No money to spare.
Love you, too, but you're not getting a Bud Light, as the old... you're my dad, and I love you, but you're not getting the Bud Light.
I really love you. I really love you, man. Yeah, I love you, too, but you're not getting my Bud Light. I love that.
I think it was Mad TV, maybe, did a spoof. This guy's on the dock fishing with the devil. Satan, you're my Satan, and I love you, man. You're not getting your soul back, Johnny.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Hey, I have another Christmas present for all over on the Erie House page, or Weirdest Really Bad Movie page. We'll be having the latest episode of Spaceship One, That's the Brakes playing. It's already up there on the Erie House Facebook page, so you must go see it. Actually, make sure you got a couple minutes. It runs a full 28 minutes and change. So, a lot of fun there.
Yeah. Hopefully, maybe our friends on the Vortex will pick that up soon too in the near future.
Could be.
You can always visit them for horror hosts and lots of fun at
www.horrorhost.net,
I believe.
Horrorhost.net. And I did give Foxbane a sneak preview. I think it was last night or so. Last night, yeah.
Oh,
so
you lucky guy, Foxbane. We're all lucky
indeed,
to be here together, I think, for the holidays. We're going to be here maybe on Sunday night, too, as we wrap up this Christmas weekend little CBS Radio Mystery Theater, a very private miracle.
With another great voice, the wonderful Howard DeSilva comes in with this one, and a tale written by Ian Martin. So it's a wonderful story, a great acting. And it'll be a fun night. I can guarantee it.
Yep. And although it'll be after Christmas,
we'll have a few after Christmas presents to wrap there that night too.
Yeah, we've got some more left. And we will share it with you, time willing, and we'll maybe make it happen. Might be a little bit longer show than usual. We'll find out. We're hoping our dear friends Gar and Al Klesh get well soon.
Yes, get
and it looks
here.
Like Blog Talk is actually running exactly on time. So if the timing isn't right,
wow.
it's my fault this time. I can't blame Blog Talk because the counter is matching my studio. And, again, we want to, you to join us on Sunday. And then next weekend, of course, it's New Year's Eve. We're going to have Amos and Andy, Life of Riley, Life with Luigi, Big Town, and Gunsmoke. That's all. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. See you Sunday at 6:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And
when next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
So we just missed the puff, that's all. The live audience
okay.
missed the puff.
That's okay. Too much puffing is not good for you. Unless you're a big bad wolf, you know.
Gotta let Linda know. Linda Lou know it's Sunday, not tomorrow.
Yep.
Yep.
Puff, puff, huffle, puffle.
Oh, Fogg's put on there the
Santa
tracker. Oh, you know what? You know, I also forgot to mention, I know throughout New York, it looks like they had a bit of white Christmas there, even from the Buffalo area over to more of the eastern New York. So looks like they got a white Christmas going on over there. It's a little too warm for it here.
Yeah, we're getting a brown Christmas. It's going to be muddy.
Yep.
I'm sure Paladin will go out and bring some Christmas cheer in the form of paw prints all over the place.
Oh, you better believe it. He's got company today. My son and daughter are over. My son brought his dog, and they had a little bit of fun together. It took him a while to get used to him. I've got a very affectionate cat who enjoyed the entire show with us today. Yeah, Mighty Joe's been, tugging at me and jumping on my lap, and he's enjoying his Christmas. Almost overcame his fear to go upstairs today, too.
Before he came on, before we went on, I announced that Al is he's asymptomatic, but he is contracted. Looks like he's tested positive for COVID. And since I was with him last Saturday and Tuesday, I just tested today, and I am negative. So
good. Well, be safe and get lots and lots of. I swear by homemade chicken soup. I swear it has healing properties. If nothing else, it makes you feel better.
Garlic.
So you know what makes
lots
me feel better?
Lots of garlic in it.
We're having
garlic?
Our traditional breakfast. There you go. Our traditional Christmas breakfast my wife and I will have over at the Waffle House.
Oh, how nice.
Where my wife brings a bunch of gifts and gives to the cooks and to the servers. Everyone that's there, she has a little gift for. So she looks so forward to that. Now that I have tested negative, we'll be able to go.
Yeah, good.
And,
yeah.
Wow, that is really, really a great kindness. I mean, you hear so many people throwing things at the people who just try and serve them. I mean, they throw a hissy fit. They act as though they're royalty. They are psychos or something. But that's really kind of her to do that. Wow, what a great tradition.
And a cook came over last year and said, you know, this is you won't believe how this touches me because this is the only Christmas gift I got this year. And so it meant a lot to him that we were there for that and to give it to him.
I'm quite surprised people are acting poorly. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be, but but you would think with everything that's going on in the world, you'd be grateful that somebody actually showed up to work, number one.
Right. Yeah.
Because there are so many things going on in the world,
and it does require a little more patience because there are less people working, and it takes a little bit longer. And instead of being rude and angry at the servers and whomever, you know, just take an extra breath. Come on. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can understand being short with somebody who is giving horrible service and being rude themselves, but, you know, just for delays and stuff like that, come on. take a deep breath.
Yeah, I haven't found that. I find most servers are fun to banter with and to tease and things like that because it just, yeah. You know, at one time my wife got so angry at me and she said, and the server said, no, please. This is fun. You wouldn't believe how much anger some people say at me. And this was even before the COVID. He said, so this is just fun. So, you know, and by the time we left, and I would say something, she'd say, oh, David, you know, just like my wife was saying. You know?
Oh, I bet she says that a lot.
Oh, yes. Oh, she says that a
on
lot.
On any given
yes.
day. Oh, David.
Yeah.
You're hanging around with that Erie House idiot again, old David.
Some of her greatest hits are old David. Yes.
Yes.
My.
Wow. Well, I hope
amazing. She's amazing. I hope. Just to know that she's put up with me for 25 years. And
oh, that's right. You hit silver
woman,
this year. Yeah.
We hit silver. And you know, she was. She was married 17 years before that, and I was married for 11 years before that. So you combine that all, we've been married for about 107 years, something like that.
I think we hit cubic zirconium this year. I'm not sure.
Cubic zirconium.
Because I'm cheap. Because I'm
she's
cheap.
She's an amazing person just to be able to put up with my schedule and my nonsense and my energy. And everything else that comes with me. So, good
stuff. I used to have
the
kind of energy, Dave. You are truly amazing. You're just you're an entertainment machine between weirdness and Spaceship One, and then you grace us by plotting and scheming all these and theming up all these wonderful shows and all the information that you share about the actors, the directors, the writers. This has opened up a whole new world for me.
Me as well. You're one of the few people who could make me work without saying a lot of naughty words and marching off and saying I quit and then throwing up a backward peace sign at them. So, you know.
Dale and I both are amazed at your information base, so CW. You add so much to the show when you're here with things that you throw out and the movie knowledge you have and things like that. It just absolutely, we're both in awe of that. And we enjoy that every time you join us.
Aw. We're in awe.
Thank you.
When we adopted you, it was a natural choice.
It was bad for you, but good for us. So
yeah. Sorry about your luck.
Mother warned me about calling strangers, but what a good honor to know.
Strange men. That we are.
Strange men, yes.
All
strange
three of us.
Mom. Strange old men. Yeah.
You're calling all the time.
Hey, at least we're
I'm calling.
At least we're not wearing like a raincoat or something, but sitting on a park bench. Oh, good God.
Oh no! I was trained to be prepared for that. You know, you got the umbrella, pulled out the steed umbrella with the steed sword, Mrs. Peel.
Yeah.
You know, ready to go. Chop, chop, chop. You guys just went into the encyclopedia.
Wow, this is so much fun. Doing the Erie House and so much more yet to come. As Dale has the schedule ahead of point time there, we got at least a half a year already just sitting there waiting to be moved up. And whenever I move something up, I always come up the next week.
It looks closer to a year. We could just drop it.
Holy.
And the beautiful thing is we don't like to schedule too far. It's more of a drag and drop as we go. Because we never know when we're going to get a fantastic guest. Like what? We've had Lord Bloodra and the amazing guests
and
Davis brought on board.
And Bradley Beard. And, yeah.
Bradley Beard, other radio people. We got to get Casey back in here, and Mike Arnett, and so many others that we've had. That it'd be nice to get them back in here. Maybe Mike will come up with another radio show too. That he had, we played one of his original productions,
and that was amazing.
And the other gentleman that does a whole bunch of that, does a lot of Johnny Dollar. What was his name, Dave? You brought him on the show.
Yeah.
Joe Bev. Good old Joe.
Joe Bev.
Yep. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah, he moved down to Florida from New York, where he's in a bit of a retirement center now, and he's doing quite a bit better from what I understand. So.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. What are you doing tomorrow, CW, you got anything special for or traditional stuff that you do for Christmas? CW?
I'm being evil, sorry. But no, actually, considering the fact that I'm a worrywart and borderline hypochondriac, so I'm going to say howdy-do and hello and have my meal in cyberspace with family, because I think it's safer and I can only take so much of them anyway. So this works out as a
situation.
That's
an easy way to say, wait, I think my air connection is going to...
I've always wondered how hypochondriacs and germaphobes are dealing, comporting what's going on. And I feel for you. I do. If you are not exaggerating, I truly feel for you. Because it's not a fun time, in some ways.
I'm not that bad, but as for absolute dyed-in-the-wool hypochondriac, you know, the antiseptic flows, the hand sanitizer is your best friend. And they're happy because they have a perfectly valid excuse to stay away from people.
How do you stand me? I'm a cigarette smoker. I eat mud. I'm surprised you're not catching something from me through the radio waves.
That's why I have a good virus, Kaspersky virus protection. Kill everything.
That's right. Spray a little Lysol in my face. You'll be fine.
So what do you have going on for your kind of Christmas Day festivities, Dale?
Well, as I mentioned, the kids are here. They're staying overnight. Hopefully the dogs will suffer each other's company through the night without driving us all crazy. And then tomorrow, because it starts the laborious part for my wife, it's basically almost a redo of Thanksgiving. We got a nice turkey. I have some smashed potatoes. And some of the Christmas treats that she made, you know, the Christmas crack, the cookies. And, God, what else do you need?
No.
What else do you need?
All right there.
Family food, there you go.
Yeah, we'll probably watch a few Christmas specials. I'm trying to get the kids to try to appreciate the original Lassie show. And, oh, my God, there was a heartbreaker on that I watched today. Lassie saves a little girl from a speeding truck and gets hit by a truck on Christmas. Oh my God, it's a heartbreaker. You know, Timmy is a religious sort, and he's praying that the only thing he wants for Christmas is Lassie to be okay. And it was a real heart jerker because the little girl and every kid in the neighborhood with every pet or animal that Lassie ever saved was out there praying for him, and they're doing Silent Night, and it was rather sappy, but a really sweet, sweet tale. And I love Lassie now.
If you want to look for a little bit of fun for Christmas, there is an amazing X-Files out there. I have it on DVD. It's called The Ghost Who Stole Christmas. And the special guest in that X-Files episode is Lily Tomlin and Ed Asner. It is absolutely one of my favorite Christmas Christmas things of all time.
I am going to have to check that out. That sounds good. I learned something about Lassie. I've got to get used to the Lassie canon. I watched for the very first time in its entirety Lassie Come Home, stunned at how many stars were in that movie. Not just Roddy McDowell. No, Lassie Come Home was with Roddy McDowell.
Okay.
Elizabeth Taylor was in it. Elsa Lancaster. Oh, it's the Jetsons again. Now, Elsa Lancaster was in it. Edmund Gwenn was in it. Let's see. It was really a star-studded film and a real tear-jerker. And of course, Pal, the dog, Red Weatherwax's dog, earned that role in that film. And the reason why Lassie was something of a transvestite was because the female dogs would not jump in the river. There was a scene where Lassie had to swim across a small lake or a river, and Pal just jumped right in and did his thing. It was just an amazing, amazing trained dog. But the TV show was actually started off as Jeff's Collie, and a young man named Jeff was the owner of Lassie. And about the fourth season, I think it was his little nephew was Timmy. Now, I did not know this, but Timmy was an orphan, or had been orphaned. And
Jeff was
trying to get his mom to adopt him and stuff, but they were moving and selling their farm, and they sold their farm to the Martins, who adopted Timmy. And Jeff decided that Lassie maybe should stay with Timmy because he needs Lassie more. And that started the Timmy part. The next thing I want to learn is the transition from Timmy to Ranger Corey. Because for years, Lassie ran around with Ranger Corey.
And he was color, right? In color, Ranger Corey.
Not at first.
He was black and white. Okay.
Yeah, no, that was around 63, 64, and within a couple of years, then it went to color. There was even a color movie with June Lockhart and John Provost. Forget the name of it. From 1963, right at the end of Timmy's run there. It was a good movie. They were lost in Canada, and the Mounties were looking for them. And what's his name? A huge man played Iga. What's his name? He was Jaws.
Yeah, he was Jaws in the James Bond flicks. He was.
What the heck was his name? But he played a mute Indian who rescued Timmy, and then eventually Lassie caught up to him. Of course, everybody was rescued, but and it was very shortly after that film version that Ranger Corey took over.
Well, it wasn't difficult for Lassie to pull in stars, was it? The Magic of Lassie from 1978 had Jimmy Stewart, Stephanie Zimbalist, Pernell Roberts, Mickey Rooney, Alice Faye in her final film role.
Wow.
Quite a crew there.
Yeah, if there's any more Lassie radio, we need to bring Lassie back to Erie House.
Yeah, there was only a handful of them. I think it were like four or six of them. We played two of those.
Yep.
So
I'm absolutely enamored of Lassie, partly because of my dog, but partly because I'm just rediscovering them. I didn't watch it a lot when I was a kid, Lassie. They were, I don't know. My parents probably didn't. My mother hated animals and didn't want me to want a dog. And they tried to bury the fact that I was adopted, so that was probably why we didn't watch Lassie a whole lot, if at all. But just like doing radio with you, Dave, it's great to just discover some of this old stuff and go back in time and enjoy those.
And some of the old – I watched an old television episode of let me pull it down here because I got a bunch of these old TV detectives. And maybe it was Code 3. And in it, I found – no, it wasn't Code 3. It was
Code Red.
It was, I don't see it here. But what it was, is it had like four people from Radio. Parley Bear, who was Chester and all over radio, was in it. The guy that was the old guy was accused. I heard him in several X-Minus Ones and some old Lone Rangers and stuff. I'm trying to think. There was at least one other radio voice. Peter Lynn Hayes was there, and one other guy too that was radio. It was like four or five radio people that were in that episode. To me, I just get so great because you hear their voices and you know who they are. You know,
Dave, you're the one who could pick them all out too, just with your ears, because your knowledge and your interest in radio goes back a long, long way, and it's been so nice. This has just been an absolute treat. I am so glad that we're doing this show. And clearly, when you got folks like Fogs Bane and GGSI Paper and Linda Liu who stop by often, and we get great partners to join us like Gar the Ghoul and, oh, what's her name? CW?
Hey. CW, yes.
Yes. So humble. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for enhancing our show. Seriously.
Yes.
Because I think we're getting better and better as we go, and you're part of that. A big part of it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's nice to be appreciated. Nice to be wanted. And. Thank you. I think more of you than any of my former workplaces.
And you're making probably twice as much.
Except for the paycheck. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, the paycheck issue, we got to overcome that someday. But no, who knows what the future will hold. We probably want to be very, very careful to be asleep by midnight to ensure that Santa Claus will come by.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm waiting for Santa Bunny to come down and drop my meds down my chimney tonight.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we need the magic words out of the one and only CW.
Oh, yeah. Without further ado, Mr. Tranty, the stage is yours.
And no stories about snowmen, Jimmy.
Good night. It's time to say goodnight.
Good night, Merry Christmas.
Goodnight. What more to say but goodnight? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and it could be to do.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.